We were on the right path, and things just couldn't gel enough for us.
Plans for a Tlingit-based justice center in Hoonah are on hold, and the deadline approaches for more than $11,000 in locally awarded grants. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more, up next.
Juneau's homegrown brewery has been singled out for losing an appeal in a multi-million dollar case over distribution rights in Washington state. But company owners say it's not going to affect their bottom line. Matt Miller has more on the opinion issued last Monday.
The Washington State Court of Appeals handed down the nearly $6.3 million judgment against Alaskan Brewing Company of Juneau.
So it's water under the bridge. No more appeals, no nothing else. It is what it is.
That's Alaskan Brewing President Jeff Larson. The figure is essentially the fair market value for exclusive distribution rights for Alaskan beer in seven Washington state counties, largely in the Puget Sound area. The dispute arose after the rights, as held by Kent, Washington-based Alaska Distributors Company, were put up for sale 2 years ago. The opinion issued by the appeals court says Alaskan Brewing only gave 4 days' notice of its intent to terminate their contract with Alaska Distributors rather than 90 days. Larson says the opinion doesn't tell the whole story.
It was our contract having to do with our brand with Alaska Distributors. Alaska Distributors was going out of business, and so the brand was being purchased by another wholesaler, and that wholesaler is the one who paid for the fair market value. And the dispute was between the buying and selling wholesalers over our brand. And that's why our name is in this court action.
An arbitrator ruled that Alaska Distributors was owed $5.5 million for the rights' fair market value. That's instead of the $1.4 million in liquidated damages that court documents say Alaskan Brewing had advocated for.
And so the wholesaler that purchased our brand had a concern about the fair market valuation. So the whole arbitration was between the two wholesalers.
A trial court declined to overrule the arbitrator's decision and up the award another $800,000 for interest and attorney's fees, but Larson says the new wholesaler, Renton-based K&L Distributors, already paid for the rights.
And he actually purchased it a year ago.
The appeals court decision doesn't tread any new ground, but Seattle area attorney Doug Reeser, who also writes for brewerylaw.com, says the decision highlights the enormous deference given to a single arbitrator.
Shut the door on challenging arbitration rulings. It really kind of showed that there are extremely, extremely limited circumstances in which you can challenge an arbitration award in the state of Washington. And that's probably the ruling nationwide across most states.
Reeser also notes what he calls statutory protections afforded to distributors when contracts are terminated by small brewers.
2009, they changed it to 200,000 barrels, which would have got Alaskan out of this.
Calls placed to the last known business number for Alaska Distributors or its president, Stephen Loeb, were not returned. The company announced plans to lay off 600 people and sell assets to other distributors at the same time as it was selling Alaskan Brewing's distribution rights.
And we're selling beer in Seattle and enjoy making it and trying to provide the best service we can to our retail customers, and hopefully the consumer gets the service that they want, a nice cold glass of beer after work.
Alaskan Brewing Company is privately owned, and Larson declined to reveal his company's financial details, but he does say that production is about 125,000 barrels a year, and they employ 80 people, mostly in the Juneau area. According to the latest rankings by the Brewers Association, Alaskan Brewing is 11th among craft brewers and 18th overall among all breweries in the country. Those rankings are based on sales volume. A craft brewery is defined as an independent and traditional operation with less than 2 million barrels of annual production. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
The Northern Lynn Canal moose count is up to 13 bulls. The latest animal in was a sublegal moose on Friday, bringing that total to 4 illegals. There have also been 4 spikes or forks, 3 with 3 brow tines, and 3 over 50 inches. The hunt continues through October 7th, or until the guideline harvest of 20 to 25 bulls is met. Plans for a minimum security justice center based on Tlingit traditions are being shelved. Organizers won about $2 million in federal grants about 7 years ago for what was called the Cultural Justice Spirit Camp and Healing Center. They bought and renovated old logging camp buildings near Hoonah. But they were not able to obtain ongoing operating funds or contract with the state prison system as they had hoped. Andy Bona of Juneau's Alaska Native Brotherhood Camp 2 was one of the organizers.
You know, we thought we were on the right path, and things just couldn't gel enough for us. And, you know, we tried to get involved in some of this stimulus funding, and nothing happened. So we think that project is pretty much on the ropes right now.
He says the camp is trying to sell its buildings and equipment to pay off debts, including security services and a land lease. The idea came from the late Hoonah elder, Richard Dalton Sr. He hoped to create substance abuse treatment, job training, family reorientation, and other programs using Tlingit language, arts, and food gathering. Organizers hoped the camp would hold up to 60 people and employ as many as 40. The Hoonah Indian Association, the Sea Alaska Corporation, and the halfway house operator, Gastineau Human Services, were also involved.
The Chilkat Valley Community Foundation is a locally governed foundation whose focus is on the needs of the Chilkat Valley, which include the village of Klukwan and the Haines Borough. The foundation acts as a permanent fund for the Valley and distributes grant money to more than 75 nonprofit organizations. Ann Myron describes what is available to the organizations eligible for a grant.
We have 3 different kinds of grants. First of all, we grant out to nonprofits, and so the application has to come in from a nonprofit, but individuals and organizations can work with a nonprofit, you know, if that nonprofit is interested in supporting a project, you know, because it helps their mission. We do give out operating support grants, so if you're finding it tough in these tough economic times, they can ask for an operating support grant, and of course, that can't exceed 10% of their organization's annual budget, but since our grants range from $500 to $3,500, most people wouldn't be asking for over 10%. We also fund new program and special project grants, and that's if you've got something, new idea that you want to try, or some opportunity has arisen that sounds really great that supports the mission of the organization, you can put in a request for those types of projects. And those are challenge grants, so the grantee needs to raise $2 to every one that the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation would provide. And then capital grants are also a possibility. So if you're working on if you need computers or you need equipment or furniture, maybe you're working on a renovation or some sort of capital project, we do consider those as well. So those are the 3 types that we're working with right now. We have $11,713 to give out to the nonprofits in our community at this time. Again, the grant range is $500 to $3,500. So people can consider that, and we are looking to just build our community and help nonprofits do what they do and to make our community a better place for everybody. So we're really hoping to see a good group of applications come in again this year. Last year it was very exciting, and we're really pleased to see everything that's been happening.
The deadline for the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation's second round of grant applications is Thursday, September 30th. Myron says that it is not too late to start writing a grant now.
If you're a nonprofit and you have a project in mind and you've been working on it and today's the first day you're finding out about your grant, if you've got some time in the next few days, I think you could put together a good application.
Applications can be sent by mail or hand-delivered to a board member. Board members are listed online at the Chilkat Valley Community website and chilkatvalleycs.org. The instructions for the applications are also on the website, or give them a call at 766-6868.
You know, our applications aren't that difficult. They're pretty straightforward. We're asking for folks to describe the project that they're trying to do, and in order to do that, we're asking them to say, okay, my organization's mission is this, and this is how we work in our community. How do they, you know, try to strive for that mission? What's the need for the project? What are they trying to do, the goals, and why do they need that? Why is that important? And it's important to remember when you're describing need not to just say, well, we need a new computer. Well, why? What is that going to do for you? How do you use that? How is that going to make a difference in the organization's effectiveness?
Reporting for KHNS, this is Katie Hicks. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS Local News. Share your local news with anyone. Just send them a link to khns.org. Archives of past newscasts are under the Listen tab.